In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please sit down. Well, it is that time of year again. Petertide is the main time for ordinations in the church, as Margot mentioned. And my Facebook and Twitter feeds fill up with pictures of people getting ordained or priested. I guess it shows the kind of company that I keep. Yeah. They are people like Mel Clark, who preached her first ever sermon in this pulpit just a few years ago. And Mel was one of our placement students, and Margot was very much over the top with placement students, and so I had the privilege of supervising her placement. And Mel was priested last week in Lichfield Diocese. Or Andy Gosler. Andy and I have worked together at Oxford University for over 10 years now. And he was priested in Oxford last week. You will notice the white Easter altar frontal is out again. And that is the correct colour for Petertide. But make the most of it, because the next appearance will be Christmas. Now, a few of you here in the congregation know about ordination, as you have been ordained. But what about the rest of us? What does Petertide mean for us? And it is Margot's last service as rector in the Wychet Vale benefice. What does that mean for us all? I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. So wrote Paul to Timothy in the reading tonight. And it takes me back to September 2016, when we had a special Kingsey breakfast service to celebrate the restoration of the Easter altar frontal by Elizabeth Bond. And Easter is, of course, also white, white colour. The service in 2016 was not long after the Olympic Games. And so that was the theme. And I arranged for a special slow motion relay race up and down the aisle of the church. I won't ask Charles Dean to repeat his performance tonight. I'm sure he will demonstrate afterwards. But that was it. I have finished the race. I have finished the race. We are all on a relay race. And Margot and I will finish our leg of the relay this evening. But it goes back much further than us. Back on December the 16th, 1893, this church was opened at a big service attended by the Bishop of Oxford. On that day, they sang, yes, the church's one foundation, and the bishop preached from Psalm 90. And the man leading Kingsey into the church on that day was the Reverend Robert Baines. His plaque is on the wall just there. On the wall just there. He was the vicar of Kingsey in 1893. But Robert Baines was not the first person here to pick up the baton of leadership. It goes all the way back to the person, whoever they were, that had the idea of building a church here on this spot over 1,000 years ago. And people handed on the baton all the way to when he led the church into this new building in 1893. And then Robert handed on the baton and it came all the way down to Margot. And now Margot is handing it on to her successor, and so on. But the church would be useless without a congregation, without people. So the people of 1,000 years ago handed on their batons to all those in 1893, and they have come down to you in 2019. And the same is true for all of our churches in the benefice, Aston Sandford, Cuddington, Dinton, Haddenham, and Stone. We are trustees for our part of the story, for our part of the story. And we have to do our very best to hand on the baton to the next generation. And into the future, I can see two people standing by the board with the names of the vicars on it at the back of the church in 20 years' time. And this is their conversation. Do you remember Margot Hodson? I'm not sure that I do. You know, the one with the eccentric husband. Oh yes, I remember it now. Or another couple in 100 years' time. Do you realise that Margot Hodson was the first female vicar in over 1,000 years? I expect she had a lot of trouble as a result. Well, actually, she didn't. All of the churches in the benefice have been extremely welcoming to their first female incumbent. There has been no trouble. But those stories are a long way into the future. And here we are with Margot and I about to move off to our next adventure. And Wychard Vale Benefice then enters an interregnum. And here are just a few thoughts. Firstly, the keys to this time will be love and unity. It is not the time to fall out with each other. We need love and unity within each church, and love and unity within the 6 churches of the benefice. Now, officially, the church wardens are in charge and the area dean is there to help if there are problems to sort out. The ministry team are there to continue in their service to this benefice. Remember, all of you, that the church wardens and the ministry team will all be taking on extra work during the interregnum. Quite a lot of extra work. And it's the role of everyone else to support them as much as they possibly can. Do not cause them difficulties. Do not. Including you. It is a time when you might find yourself called on to use gifts that you never thought that you had. If Peter Tide means anything, it is about ministry and our calling as Christians. Not everyone is called to be a vicar. I've never felt called to be a vicar. Thank goodness. But everyone has some gifts. Everyone has some gifts. Everyone is called to something. For me, I never intended to be a preacher. It happened because in the church where Margot did her curacy in Grove, there were three services on a Sunday, and only the vicar and Margot to do sermons for them. So when the vicar was away, that meant poor Margot had three sermons to prepare for Sundays. So I volunteered. After all, I was a university lecturer, so surely I could come up with something that made sense. And when we arrived in this benefice, to be honest, I never thought that I would be part of the preaching team. I actually preached here in Kingsey for the first time in this benefice, with Charles leading, on Sunday the 3rd of May 2009. There were 10 of us here. I checked my diary. I thought actually that I'd just fill in a few gaps here and there and just be generally helpful. But it seems that God had other ideas. So when you go home this evening, pray that God will guide you as to what your gifts are and how you might use them to support your church during the interregnum. Be prepared for surprises and be prepared to be helpful. And then pray too for the selection process for the new rector, that the person of God's choice may come to the benefice in the next few months. Someone who can pick up that baton and run the straight race with it. And when that person arrives, welcome them and love them. They will almost certainly be very different to Margot, with very different gifts and abilities. And they'll have a whole lot of different ideas. Love them and support them. A special word about spouses. If the vicar is married, of course they may not be, but if they are married, being a clergy spouse is not a job. It is not a job. There are horror stories of spouses arriving to find that they are already on the rota for Sunday school. Really has happened, I know. Now, that won't happen here. But do love them for who they are. You may have a male vicar whose wife has a senior job in London and just about manages to collapse into church on a Sunday. Love them for who they are and don't make them feel guilty for not doing much in the church. Or you may have another female vicar. Her husband can't preach and doesn't know one end of a spreadsheet from another. But they are a genius at making cakes and love putting on parties. They will be an incredibly big hit in Kingsey. Love them for who they are. For who they are. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken but endures forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people, both now and forevermore. Psalm 125, which we sung this evening, is one of the songs of ascent, or Shirim Ma'alot in Hebrew. When the Jewish people arrived back in Israel, Palestine, in the late 1800s, one man, Ben Yehuda, had the bright idea that the people should once more speak Hebrew and not Yiddish and the other languages that they were used to in the countries that they'd come from. So he started with his family speaking Hebrew, but soon the idea spread and it became the official language for Israel and still is. But there was only one problem. There are a lot more words needed for things than in biblical times. So they had to invent words for aircraft, trains, computers, and all sorts of things that we take for granted. Now, the songs of ascent are Shirim Ma'alot. And it always kind of amused me that the word for a lift or an elevator is a ma'alit, a thing that goes up, The Shirim Ma'alot were sung by the pilgrims on the way up to visit the temple in Jerusalem at festival times, things like Passover. And those of you who have been to Jerusalem will know that it really is a very steep climb to get there. The pilgrims who sang this psalm were, in many, many respects, the predecessors of those who built this church. So they had the baton several thousand years ago. And we sung the same psalm this evening. Not in Hebrew, though. Two thoughts for you as the interregnum begins. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken, but endures forever. Trust in God and put your faith in Him. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds His people, both now and forevermore. God was with His people on the way up to Jerusalem. He was with the people who first built a church on this site 1,000 years ago. He was with Robert Baines and his congregation as they first moved into this church in 1893. And he's been with us all for the last 10.5 years. And he will be with you now as you move forward into the interregnum and beyond. And now we come to the end of our time in the benefice. Margot and I have tried to fight the good fight. We have very definitely now finished our leg of this relay race. And we have kept the faith as best we could. I want to thank you all for making our 10.5 years so memorable, such memorable years. We will never forget you. We will pray for you, and please pray for us as we move on to the next stage of our ministry. Amen.